guys. Thanks for joining us. Great to have you here. My name is Henrik. This is Red Ice. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's always a pleasure having you with us. So today we're talking with three of our good Swedish friends, Ingrid och Konrad, who you of course know from Nord News, and also Dan from Motgift or Antidote, the radio show that he does together with Magnus. They've all been guests on the show before. And today we're going to highlight and talk about a new exciting project called the Free Sweden. It's an association that they have decided to create and set up to basically make sure that Swedes can continue to prosper in the future. And we have a lot of things to kind of detail about the project, what it entails, what their goals are, what some of their initial steps are to get things moving. And already it's been received, very well received. A lot of people have decided to jump on. There is a membership structure associated with this. But the main idea, the main point, is basically to ensure a future for the Swedish people. And that's why this is such an important project, because I'm sure you're aware of how bad things are in Sweden these days and how hostile our politicians and our establishment are towards Swedish people. So, you know, this is a very important project, and it comes at a very important time as well. An association, a project, if you want to call it that, that is very complementary to many of the other existing organizations in Sweden, and it's there to fill a void to a certain extent, so that they can connect, start building friendships and bonds, and basically make those real life, you know, connections, which are so vital and so important in this time. So welcome, guys. Good to have you all here.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. And it's so nice to finally come with some really great news on Sweden, because that doesn't happen every day.
Thank you. I haven't been on the show since Trump was elected. So
it's way too long. Way too long, Don. I'm really glad to have you back. And of course, Magnus could not join us today. These are, if you're new to the Red Ice, these two gentlemen, Magnus and Dawn, they are behind a podcast radio show in Sweden called Motgift, which means antidote. They do a great job. And Dawn, was it you who were initiated this particular project?
It was. We started talking about it like 2 years ago. Then this summer, we decided to move back to Sweden. Both me and Magnus, we live in Germany at the moment. Then we thought it was time also to bring this idea to life. So we contacted Ingrid and Konrad, or Daniel, and a few other people, and told them about the project. And they all got really excited. And then we understood, okay, this is not just something that we find exciting, but also other people. That means we're probably onto something. And then we started to work out the idea and find, they came with some really good input, and we took a bit different turns than we thought from the beginning. And it's been developing for the last 4 or 5 months until the launch last Saturday, the November 25th.
So tell us a bit about how it's been received so far, and kind of we can go through and obviously talk about, you know, more in detail what it is and whatnot. But you guys did a press conference. What is it? 3 days ago, something like that.
Yeah, it's I think 4 days ago now, five even.
Okay,
it goes so fast now. There's so much to do that I've been in the office until 11 p.m. every day now since then, it's been amazing. Really, we have right now it's Thursday, 5 days later, we have 752 paying members, we have received almost $10,000 in donations in these few days. And I mean, that's the member fees on top of that. And why do I talk about money? Because it's really important to bring this project to life, which we'll talk about later. But I mean, it's been received really, really well, and I'm getting so many phone calls from people just thanking us for launching this, and they are looking forward to see this project come alive and realizing this vision together with us.
All right, so let's go into the specifics, guys, and talk about what it is, and actually, you know, most people want to know kind of what the structure is, and how people can join, and what kind of outline it is, basically, because there is I never know a good translation actually into English for the word förening. I guess association is one of the better terms to use. But tell us about the structure, Dan, and how it's kind of laid out, if you will.
Well, I think it's impossible to translate it 100%, because for the last 100 or 120 years, it's like this förening is such an integral part of the Swedish structure. much thanks to the social democracy and how the whole society is built. But we talk in Sweden about Förenings Sweden, about how the whole society is built on this kind of associations. But what we have done is to form an association where everybody can become a member. But we have also made sure to have two levels of membership, what we call normal members and active members. And the active members are those with the most influence. They can elect a new board, for example, and they can change the statutes, while normal members, so to speak, they can decide about most things, but not like the crucial parts of the association. And this is to also protect ourselves against evil forces trying to destroy this association. But what we want to do, there are many legs that we are standing on. We want to be a, I don't know, Ingrid, what's the word for intresseförening in English?
Well, that's a really tricky one. We want to speak for the Swedes. We have all these associations in Sweden, especially for immigrants. We have associations for the Somalis, for the Turks, for the Jews, for the Muslims, for everybody. But there is not one association talking for the Swedes.
If it is for the Swedes, it's all these like, you know, ping pong table associations or like, you know, some sports associations or, interest group associations, but not for the people itself. So that's a good point.
I mean, that is really crucial because, I mean, when the journalist wants to write something, they always say, well, how does this affect the many Syrians in Sweden? And then they call the Syrian Association. But no one has ever thought about how will this affect the Swedes. And I'm not holding my breath waiting for journalists to call us and ask us how we think about things. But, I mean, not tomorrow, not next week, but in a year or so, maybe they will, because we will be there and we will always be talking in the interest of the Swedes.
The thing is, the organization that should care about the Swedes is called the government, but they're not doing all anymore. They're doing, well, quite the opposite. And I mean, again, it's such a bizarre that we need to form an organization in Sweden, in our own home country, to have someone looking after the Swedes. But the state Sweden is in now, this is really something that is really needed and really wanted, obviously, since all the amazing attention we've got already. And it hasn't even been a week, and I think none of us can really understand what's happening. This is such an extreme success, and we were hoping for 100 members within the first evening, really hoping, maybe, perhaps. It took, what was it, Dan, 6 or 8 minutes?
6 minutes, yes, for 100 new members, and we had over 500 members before the evening was over.
Yeah. So I think what we haven't done so far, actually, is let's diagnose the problem. I think, our international audience, they will be aware of what the many issues they hear about probably on a daily basis at this rate of what it is that's happening in Sweden and that it is a horrible and terrible situation. But Dawn, let's begin with you, and we can pass this question around if you will. But if you were to diagnose in the most condensed way that you can the problem, if you will, for us, how would you describe, because this is ultimately what is the backdrop to why you guys started to set up the organization and go in this direction. How would you define the issues of the incentives, if you will, of why you wanted to start the association?
Well, I mean, the major issue is, of course, the demographic replacement going on. And I mean, the Swedish nationalist opposition has been, in my view, one of the most professional the last 10, 15, maybe even 20 years. In Europe, we haven't had the most success, but we have arranged big demonstrations, especially when you think about that Sweden are, you know, it's only like 8 million Swedes, really. And we have an alternative media that is outstanding. In my position as the chairman of Europa Terra Nostra, which is a European, pan-European association, I've been to most European countries, and Sweden, the Swedish nationalist opposition has been, I mean, better than most, I would say. But what we haven't done is to build something really lasting and to take the success that we have had online to the physical world. And that's what we really want to do. So not only being an association for the Swedes, but also to start buying up property for the Swedes, to buy our first house of the Swedes, where we will have meetings and gatherings of all kinds, where we hopefully will have a studio, a library, a fitness center, all the kind of things that you could have in such an house, but also to buy apartment buildings for Swedish families. You can look at the Italians in Casa Pound, who have done this really good. Also in Germany, you have whole villages of nationalists and right-wing people. And I'm very, very inspired by this, and I believe that we can do something like that in Sweden. And that doesn't mean that we should isolate ourselves and just move somewhere in the countryside and don't care about the rest of the Sweden that's just falling down. It's just a way to step by step start buying back our land. And as you well know, and probably most of the listeners, Sweden is a large country with vast land areas. And there is, I mean, outside the big cities, it's not that as bad when it comes to the immigration situation, and it's not that expensive as it is, for example, in Stockholm. It means there are a lot of possibilities to do things. And I mean, the phone calls I'm getting now, I had a phone call yesterday from a mother. She had a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old, and she asked if she could already now sign up to get an apartment when we move somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just been a few days. I've already spoken to an old friend of mine who is a businessman, and he wants to move his call center business, which would mean 60 working places, to this area.
Mm.
I mean, people are, they have been waiting for this, something like this to happen.
So what people need to understand is that we have, you know, it's almost like a society within the society, but the reason right. for this, the incentive for this, is of course that the government, as you said before, Daniel, that is meant to do all these things. This is what the government's supposed to do. It's supposed to look after its citizens, look after its people. But we have an inherently hostile, you know, establishment within Sweden that they don't look after the Swedes, and that's why something like this is necessary at this point. We're basically just living life as normal human beings is an essential part for us to be able to prosper and exist in the future. Because as you open up with, Dawn, I mean, the major problem here is the fact that we as Swedes are going to become a minority if all these trends that we now see in place are going to continue. And that's a big problem. And the elites are hostile. How would you other guys frame this in terms of how you would diagnose the problem and why you see this as an antidote, Ingrid?
Well, I have been thinking about this for many years. How can we find our Sweden again? You know that I once said in my first speech that I feel like Dorothy Gale in The Wizard of Oz. A tornado came and blew me miles and miles away and dumped me in a country I don't know. And since then, I have been, you know, trying different things, starting newspapers, podcasts, speeches, demonstrations, you name it. And we have been talking about, we have to live near each other. We have to do something. We have to protect the people we love. So when Don and Magnus called us late this summer, it was like, yes, this is it. This is what I have been waiting for, because they already had the idea that we had been struggling with for some time. They really wanted to do something. But then when they said it, we said, we're on. And from that on, it has been very quick. And now things are starting, you know, to come into place. And of course, we will not be able to start the first House of the Swedes until maybe a year from now, but so many people are calling us, writing to us, and they, it's like they have finally got some hope back. Because what I have been most worried about is that when the Swedes now wake up, and they do, believe me, they get really depressed. They think that everything is over, that Sweden is lost. And if people think that think like that. Sweden is lost.
It will be. That's not. Yep, that's it. It's all about perception. I mean, we're still the majority. We still have the capability of doing things. We can, I mean, reasonably, we should be able to just kind of take back the government. But that's not what this thing is about. Is it a... for those who are listening to this, they might feel, well, that sounds like a kind of a separatist movement or something. Is that what it is, guys?
No, I would say it's the opposite. I mean, where we open our first house of the Swedes and where most of us who are working with this will move, where we want to be a positive and an integrated part of the society and to take a social responsibility. It's also... I mean, you have to understand that Sweden has been a social democratic welfare state for 60, 70 or 80 years, and people are used to that, and now it's all falling apart. And even though I'm not a big fan of this big welfare state, I can see that my people is now struggling because they have not learned to stand on their own feet. And I believe that we can, in the society where we will end up, or in this village or small town or whatever it will be, we can do something positive with the strengths of all our members helping out. We can open up the house for elderly people, for students who need help with their homework, or for just a place to come and have a coffee and talk about life and politics if they want to. And this will also be a house that is open for everybody. We will not hide out somewhere. It will be open to everybody so they can come and meet real life nationalists and ask their questions, and maybe they will change their mind. I don't know. That's not even the main thing here. The main thing is to do something positive and to build something from the ground up. And I believe that we really can do this, and I believe we have to do it, because otherwise we are just theoretically talking about being, you know, helping our people and so on, and we want to do it. And just a few days ago, there came a report that said that more senior citizens than ever are homeless in Sweden, even though they've been working their whole lives, and nobody's taking responsibility for them. I mean, we have like Siemens Mission, but they are only caring about immigrants and gypsies from Romania or Bulgaria, and nobody cares about the Swedes. So we have to step in and take this kind of responsibility. And I mean, if we look at the success from the last days, I believe that we can open the second, the third, the fourth house of the Swedes all around our country in just a few years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Something that I think is very important is that a lot of the Swedes, they look back in to the old Sweden, how it was like in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and then it started to going downhill. And they want this back. They think about how life was when we grew up. And we want to create that again, you know, the safe environment where you can let your kids just run around because no one will rape them, no one will beat them, no one will rob them. And it is also important for the younger generations because they have never known this Sweden. They think that this multicultural chaos that we are living in is normal. This is how it's supposed to be. So it's very important that we can show them what it's like to be a Swede, what it's like to live in a Swedish Sweden.
And going back to I mean, the main problems in Sweden is, I think, one which I keep going on and on about is the loneliness. I mean, Swedes are extremely lonely people. We have learned to, you know, I can take care of myself, I don't need anyone. And nationalists especially, we have a lot of listeners who have exactly no one to talk to. And now finally we can give them a permanent place where just come here and people will be your friends. And that I mean, that's a huge thing for me.
Yeah, that's a very important point. It's kind of with the social democratic order, the rule that they've had for many, many years, it created this weird hyper individualistic, which is kind of maybe counterintuitive to most people. It's somewhat difficult to understand.
The state is the only family and friend you need, which is exactly how the state wants it.
But exactly. Yeah, and that's why you can't homeschool. That's why you can't do all these things, which basically, you know, develops you into an individual and things like this. But so what people need to understand, I think, is that it's inherently a pro-Swedish movement association. It's not necessarily anti something, right? It's about the positive momentum of people getting together, getting to know each other, binding bonds again, living in a way which isn't hostile to them. That's how I would encapsulate it in a way.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, it's just so many super, I mean, it's a place to meet, it's a place to help each other, it's a place to get help if you need it, it's a place to put your kids. And as Don said, I mean, the possibilities are actually endless. I mean, we can have everything around this, the Free Sweden project, which is just, again, amazing.
So the other thing here, too, though, to mention is that although there is obviously the people behind it are political, it's not a political organization, at least not yet. It's not a political party. It's not, not nothing that's going to seek to gain power, if you will, at this point, correct?
That's correct. Of course, we have political opinions, but we are not a political party. And we want to comment on things in the news and from our government from a pro-Swedish standpoint, but it doesn't mean that we want to run for office, not at all.
And so there are, I guess, places so far selected that looks to be candidates, depending, I guess this is both depending on the demographics to a certain extent, but there are areas, as you said, Dawn, in Sweden, which are, you know, rural, beautiful, you know, lots of nature in Sweden. And that's something I feel is important to kind of bring into the picture too, because many of these cities are just turning into absolute hellholes, to be honest, and it's unsafe and there's like nothing there. And I think that with you know, getting people back into nature, they will develop a much more healthier relationship to what is sound, what is normal, and all these things. Is that part of the idea here as well?
It is. And I mean, we should not give up on the cities, but I do believe that people, most people, will lead a better life in the rural areas. And we have become so urbanized that we have totally lost touch with nature and who we really are. And most people, you know, when they get a few days in the forest or something, they say, oh, it was like a religious experience. Yes, because it is. It's so ingrained in our DNA as Swedes to be in the forest, to be close to our lakes, and to live next door to this, I think, is important or even vital for us to really understand who we are. But of course, if we would have the resources, we would love to open a house in the center of Stockholm and say, here, for the, and show them an alternative also there. But we also have to be realistic here somewhere. And if you look at some areas of Sweden, you can buy whole, you know, apartment houses with like 10 apartments for $150,000.
Oh, interesting.
And you can rent them out to Swedes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And about the rural thing, I think that Swedes and maybe most Europeans are meant to live in the countryside. And that's exactly why the state don't want us to live in the countryside. Because if you do, if you live on the farm where generations of your family has been, you know, living there and raising their children, having, you know, what's it called, animals and everything, then you know you have the connection to your country. You know why you have to defend it. You know why you love it. But when you put everybody in these big cities, they lose touch with their heritage. And that's why they have made so many Swedes, you know, anti-nationalists, because they've lost touch with their own heritage.
Yeah, they've already made us anti-blood, right, to a certain extent, and now they're making us anti-soil, if you want to use that term. But it's true,
right,
I mean,
in the big cities, they look the same wherever you go. I mean,
yeah.
As I said, I've traveled most of Europe, and of course there are some differences in architecture and so on, but you still have Starbucks and McDonald's everywhere, and, you know, it could be, it's like, am I in Barcelona or in Helsinki? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, it is homogenized, very, very boring and dull in that sense. Yeah, so I mean, it's a huge endeavor to take on, but at the same time, there's very easy steps that you can take to initiate this process and move in this direction. And of course, with support of other people, things can move tremendously fast. It can move. Are you guys afraid that it could move too fast? Is there any, and again, I don't bring this up to put a stick in the spoke, as they say, to shut things down. But obviously, as you said in the beginning, Dawn, you have been thinking of this, of like, how do we structure it so it's not, you know, going to be taken over by someone, or, you know, we know how it is with these organizations. The state probably looks at this and they think this is some terrorist thing. They're trying to live their own lives. What's going on here? And they send in their people or whatever. What's the measures against that? And how do we protect something like this to just say, well, this should be in the hands of those who truly have the best interests at heart for the organization, the association?
Well, of course, there are many things that they can throw at us. And I think we are prepared for most of them. I mean, right now there's a thing where they're closing bank accounts for all pro-white organizations in Sweden. It's been the Nordic Resistance Movement, the Nordic Youth, the think tank Motpol just got their bank account closed. And it's not like there are a lot of banks to choose from in Sweden, because it's not like a free market. It's like a free market, but it's state regulated, so it's really hard to open a bank. But still, the bank can choose their customers themselves, and it's really complicated. So that's, of course, one thing, but then we have to find another way. The other thing is, of course, that they could try to forbid the association, but that has never really happened in Sweden. And because the whole social democratic society is built on this kind of associations, they are also really protected in the law. If they would start forbidding us on some weak grounds, that would be really bad for the left as well. So
it would be a big step for them to take, Don, to start going into this. Yeah, these associations, as you said in the beginning, for those who don't kind of understand that, that's been such an integral part of how people organize and you know how they run basically some of their activities for such a long time. So for them to go in here and say this particular one is banned or you can't have this or whatever, that would be a big bold step to take, and it would, I think, position people even further. Where they realize that the government is inherently hostile towards an organization, you know, like this.
Right.
I don't think they ever imagined that something like this could start. So that's why we haven't heard anything, you know. No mainstream newspaper have been writing about it. No politician have commented on it, because I think they're in shock. They never realized that we could do something like this. The only thing that we heard is we have this left extremist organization, and I sometimes call it the Swedish Stasi. It's called Expo, and they get a lot of state money for, hunting down what they call Nazis. But of course, it's just people who don't agree with the government policies. And they wrote an article about us that was actually fairly objective. And what happened then? Well, their comments, the people who commented on that article, it was only like in 1 hour or so, they were talking about how to burn down the house of the Swedes, that they would find it and they would burn it down. I will bring the matches. You will bring the petrol. So Expo actually had to go out and apologize and tell all their fan club not to write things like that. I've never, ever seen Expo apologizing for anything.
But it was more like, guys, this is what we talk about behind doors, you know, behind closed doors. Yeah. Don't write it on the internet.
No, not in the open, not in the open. Shut it out.
Yeah. And of course, that's, of course, another fear that many people have, you know, like the physical security. And we have already been talking to a lot of security experts. And we have already taken some measures, but of course, when we have the house, there are things that we can do to protect it. For most Americans, it might come as a shock, but we don't have the right to carry guns in Sweden. So that's not an alternative, sadly, but there are other things that you can do. And it's another thing of the kind of people who contact us now. There was, and this I haven't told my dear colleagues here yet, but today I got an email from a person that I've heard about him before, but I didn't know him. And he runs a pretty successful construction firm. And he said, if you need to build something, because that's another alternative instead of buying, he said, we will do the labor for free, you just pay the material cost.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. And there's another guy when it comes to security who runs a security firm. And he will give us free consultation and so on what we can do to secure the house and the area. And you should also understand that in the rural areas or in the smaller towns, the Antifa presence is pretty low. And, you know, they don't like to travel outside the cities. And
gets uncomfortable out there. Yeah, it's true.
Right.
Yeah. And it's also like in the rural areas. In the woods.
I mean, even if you don't have the right to carry a gun, most people in these areas are hunters. So they have a rifle or something at home. So you don't really want to go and create troubles.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of a running joke among us nationalists. If you don't live close to public transport, you're kind of safe because these people don't like to walk. They don't have a driver's license. They, you know, maybe 100 feet, 200 feet. But then again, they don't want to fight fascism that much. So I'm sure we're going to be close. And as Don said, we can't ever be 100% sure. But I mean, we thought about almost everything and the rest will be fixed. I believe 100% in this. And Don, with your long experience, I know we have all the checks and balances, and we can't be taken over. So this is it's really well thought through, which is a thing. Well, maybe before things haven't been thought through enough. Maybe that's why things have failed. And if this fail, I will be extremely, extremely surprised and eat some kind of hat. That's a promise.
Will you try different things? I mean, that's just the nature of an evolved organism, whether that's a society or a successful, you know, group or whatever. You try different things, and there could even be measures that are taken which, you know, prevents this from being successful, but then you learn from that and you evolve. It is a continuous fight, guys. I mean, that's what it's like. It is, there's never going to be any guarantees. There's never going to be any guarantees that it won't be difficult, but ultimately, it's about the expression and a desire, I guess, to fight, to live, to want to perpetuate yourself. And that's what this is an expression of showing that, like, we are going to fight back no matter what. And it's going to continue. It doesn't matter if people are trying to burn down the communal house that you guys have a plan to build or not. It can rebuild. These people might get caught. I mean, this is we have a history of this. If you go back into the historical record, guys, where the temples were continuously burned down for a period of time, you know, it's just what it is, right?
Yeah, and I think one thing that is really important to remember, we are fighting for actual survival. Our enemies are fighting for God knows what. They don't even know. They're fighting against fascism, whatever. And
we're not Americans. We're the Viet Cong, right?
But I mean, we never give up. This is something that kind of surprises me. Do they think we will stop with these attacks? Do they think we will just, okay, I give up. Okay, we'll die. That will never, ever happen. And I think they don't understand that. I think if we just harass them enough, they will quit and stop being Nazis or whatever they call us. But that would never, ever happen.
And you have to remember something, that our politicians has made a crime that is unforgivable. They have changed our country in one generation. They've changed it totally. And no politician have that right. It's absolutely forbidden. And what we are doing is that we cannot, you know, take over the government or storm into the parliament or something like that. But we can show them that we don't agree with what you are doing. We are taking our country back bit by bit. And we will show all the Swedes that think that everything is lost. No, it's not. We can create our Sweden again. Maybe we will lose some parts of the country, like Stockholm, Gothenburg, and Malmö.
Temporarily for a while. Exactly.
Temporarily, yeah, of course. And when they totally fail, when they become failed states, failed cities, people will, you know, they will run to us, and then we will have a lot of House of the Swedes, and Free Sweden will be the Sweden.
Yeah, good point. Yes, I mean, the important thing to remember here is that they will never be able to convince people that what they're involved in is not the right thing. I mean, we know it's the right thing. We know that we're not evil people. We know that we're not hateful. We're doing this out of the love of our own people and the preservation of them, right? And our enemies are trying to say we're these evil and wicked and horrible people. But in their efforts to stop us, and in the efforts to shut us down from doing these things that we want to do, they effectively are becoming these monsters themselves that they claim that we are. And they go to extraordinary lengths and measures to stop people from just living their lives. And they just can't seem to not want to meddle in other people's lives. And again, the expression of an association and a project like this is that it's about the free association also. It's the freedom of association. It's not being forced to, you know, live with those you don't want to. It's ultimately a very libertarian endeavor, I would say. Right, guys?
Yeah, and this is an important thing to say. I mean, this is not an organization where us, the leaders, will tell the people what to do. This is an organization that we want active members helping us, and we want all the members also to be independent and to be able to take care of themselves. I mean, it's a real freedom. We're like free farmers. Sweden was the land of free farmers for a long time. We want to have that back. I mean, Swedes are free, obviously, since we called it the Free Sweden. So it's an organization for the members, by the members, everything like that.
Yeah, what we try to do different from other projects is that we want to have an open door, you know, and we want to put a smile on our face and just talk to people, because what we are doing is not wrong. It's not evil. We don't have to hide somewhere, and we don't have to be afraid of journalists or even the Swedish secret police or whatever. We are not doing anything illegal. We are just standing up for our own people, our own culture, our own values. And it's nothing wrong with that. And by saying, like, here is our house, or here and there and there and there, and the door is open every day, just come by. And for example, in the first house of the Swedes, we will have every Saturday a large gathering with speeches, where you have the chance to network with like-minded people from the rest of the country. And I mean, because we have had houses before, but they have been secret. You know, it's like only for the already invited people, they are allowed to come there. Or we have been arranging demonstrations. I mean, I've been active on the streets for 10, 15 years in Sweden and in Europe. And sometimes it's been good, and sometimes it's just been that we have, you know, it's like a few hundred angry young men on the streets in riots. And even if we understand that, okay, it's because we are attacked by the Antifa, or it's because this or that, I mean, the image that we have projected has been angry young men who just want to fight. And I think with Free Sweden, we can slowly start to change this, because I can promise you that in the nationalist movement, I have met some of the most nice people anywhere, with the big hearts and who really care about people, and they are passionate about what they believe in. And I haven't seen that anywhere else in the society. And I think this is the kind of picture we also need to show people, that they know that we aren't those caricatures that you see sometimes in the media.
So it isn't.
You know, Don, that is exactly why this organization is so explosive for the government, because the former nationalist organizations that you talk about, those who walk in the streets and they look dangerous, even though I too have met a lot of them, and I know they are like teddy bears, but they have to have this look defend themselves, because then the government can always say, see what happens when they walk the streets. Nothing will happen in our places, because this is just a warm, welcoming place where everybody can come. We have nothing to hide. Everyone can see our books. Everyone can join if they want to. So that's why we are even more dangerous, I would say, to the government, because how will they beat us?
If you can't beat them, join them. So then we win, right? No, but that's a good point, Ingrid. I wanted to insert that as well, that it's an open organization in that regard. And is there any criteria for membership? DNA tests, I would assume?
Actually, to become a member, there are no criteria except that you share our values and the vision that we have. It's also, according to Swedish law, you are not allowed to have ethnically based memberships. But as I said, we have two tiers of membership, and everybody can become a member and pay their monthly fee of 100 Swedish kronor or more. But to become an active member, to be able to elect the board, for example, then we have other criteria. For example, and that's only open for Swedes, that means people of European descent with the Swedish identity.
Cool. That's awesome. Daniel, did you want to jump in there?
Yeah, and I really want to push on this, that I'm a rookie in this in the nationalist movement, but for the last 7 years, I've met like the most amazing people I've ever met in my life, almost daily. Like 90-95% of the nationalists I meet are friendly, humble, zero hate, intelligent, and most of all brave. For I mean, being a nationalist in Sweden today is being kind of brave. And I really think that when the normal families come and visit the house of the Swedes for the first time, maybe a bit nervous. They will meet all these amazing people, and then they want to come back, and then they will turn naturalists too, because it's not what they think. It's a friendly movement full of love, not hate.
But I also want to stress that I believe there is a place for classic street activism. And I believe there are people and organizations in Sweden and in Europe are doing this really good.
Of course.
And they should continue with that.
Yes.
Or do whatever they want to do. But
it's not a competing organization. It's a complementary organization that yes, does exactly. something different that is not fulfilled yet, right?
Right. And it's like we need the classic street activism, but I do believe we also need this. I mean, for young people, especially young men, maybe it's more interesting to go into demonstrations and so on. I mean, this is what I've been doing myself the last 15 years, maybe the last 5 years when I've been more into alternative media. But I totally understand that some young men are filled with hate, you know. And the important thing is that to show that there are also other things, and we are also other kind of people, and it doesn't fit everybody to be a street activist. And I think what we are doing now in Sweden, nobody else is doing, and it's inspired by many other European nationalists that have done this before us. We know it's possible, and I believe that we can do it even better than we have seen anywhere else in Europe before.
Now, Dawn, I know that you have to run here soon, so there's a couple of things I want to squeeze in for you before we let you go. Tell us about the emblem. Who designed that? That's nice. I like the beacon in the center. This is, of course, a very old, ancient symbol, kind of a, I think we call it Vårdkasse in Swedish, which is like a warning system, right, that existed, which is an appropriate symbol. But there's some other stuff in there as well. Did you design it? Who designed it, Dawn?
No. Actually, it was an anonymous comrade who helped us with it, but we told him what we wanted in the symbol. So of course you can see the wolf and the lion, and then you have this beacon of fire, which, you know, it's a warning signal system, and you should light this beacon of fire when there's a threat to your country.
Lord of the Rings, then, guys, you remember that, right? That beautiful, significant, the magnificent scene when they light the beacons. I mean, that's one of the highlights in the movies, actually. Very nice.
And you have, of course, the colors of the Swedish flag, and the green to symbol the soil. And then you have, I don't know what's it called in English, this kind of tree, but my English is not good enough.
Yeah, the branches that's made from, you
right.
mean? Yeah, right. I'm not sure. Is it the?
It's typical Swedish anyway.
Okay. Yeah, no. That's correct.
Cool. And I mean, this beacon of fire, it's such a good symbol, because we light it now and we want everybody else to light their own. And we have now lit the first one. So
and it's also this idea that there were several of these scattered throughout the land. One could see another, right? This is a pre-internet, pre-telephone, pre-telegraph system that existed, right? That, you know, you could put them on high areas around the country, and when you lit one, they lit the other, which lit the other, which warned a whole succession of people.
So it's like area and smoke signals.
Exactly. Slightly more advanced, you know. okay, that's cool. So, Dawn, before we let you go, what else then should we know? Obviously, we need to talk a bit about where people go, how do they, you know, sign up or join? Is there other ways people can help? All that kind of basic stuff that we need to cover. But what else is important to mention? Do you think that we've left out?
I want to mention the great vision that we have. And if you just stick to one area, I mean, I want to see this happening all over our country, but what can we do? I mean, we can have, of course, this house, but we can have our own apartment areas or housing areas, and we can have our own schools. We can have our own associations of different kinds, or our own restaurants and cafes and so on. When I say our own, once again, it's not a separatist idea, but that is owned and run by nationalists. And this is possible. There's no doubt about it. And there are, of course, defeatists who would like to say, no, this will never work. The government will stop it. We will find a way to work around it. I mean, we are Swedes. We have done this before. We have had, you know, big wars. We have had such a great depression and everything. And we have always fought through it. And we have rebuilt our country so many times. And now we will do it again. And I believe that this is the main way to do it, you know, to start businesses, to move to areas together and be a positive part of the society. And because, of course, we can tell everybody what's the problem with immigration, and most Swedes actually understand it. But we don't have an alternative to show them yet. But then we can say, look, in a small scale, we have done what we want to do with the rest of the country here in this area. Please come and visit and see happy children playing in the gardens, how they are not afraid to walk out in the evening. Not even women are afraid to walk out in the evening like they are in Malmö, Stockholm, or Gothenburg. And we can do this. We can build this. And I see this as a life project. I see this as my possibility to give something to my children, which will be better than what was given to me. I don't want to be the first generation who gives something worse to my children. And even if I can't give them the whole Sweden back in my generation, I don't know, maybe we can. But even if I can't, I have at least been a part of making a free Sweden that is better, even if it's only 20% of the country or whatever it is.
And for me, Don, it's a thought that is almost impossible to understand, that we're actually a concrete part in trying to save Sweden from extinction. And I really believe in this 100%. And that is just, I mean, it fills me so much with hope. And as we said before, we have got a lot of mails, people saying the day after the press conference, wow, today when I woke up, I felt so much better. I have hope. I see something in the future that can actually help Sweden. I mean, giving people hope is the most important thing, because people are hopeless. They don't do anything. People with hope, they can do anything.
Good point. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, of course, now we have talked the talk, but it's time to walk the walk. And we have presented a vision about what we can do. And already over 750 people have said, we are behind you, we will support this. And I think there will be over 1,000 before maybe the end of this year. And with the support of all these people, I'm sure that already next year we will open the first house. And then it's only up to us and the rest of the members to make something great out of this. And I don't see who would stop us, really. Of course, they will throw some hurdles in front of us, but they will not stop us. They will never stop us.
Yeah, I just will bring it. Bring it.
Yeah, well, we have to, you know, we have to fight. That's the essence. That's also when people feel the best, right? When they actually do something and they actually fight back, and they, I think ultimately the elite, the establishment, they would love for us to be feeling powerless and being basically, you know, giving up before we've even started to fight back. That's an ideal situation for that, and unfortunately, it's not going to be that simple for them. So, let's talk about the site, how people can join, and obviously there is ways that those who are not Swedish can support the project. And if you guys out there that see how detrimental things are in Sweden and see how hopeless things do seem, you guys who are concerned with that, who want to support a project like this, you definitely can. You can go to Det Fria Sverige or thefreesweden.se. I will have a link to this. And you can donate to the project that way, you know, support Swedes if you want to see us, you know, be better off in the future and help out the project. But let's talk about the members bit as well, Don, or if there's anyone else that want to take that. Where do they go on the site and how do people sign up, Don?
Well, it's I think for it will be mostly Swedes who want to become a member. But you just go to the homepage, and in the top right corner, it's Bli medlem, become a member. And you just fill it out and enter your payment details, and there are many different ways to pay. And we have, of course, been thinking a lot about security and so on. That means that your personal details will not be stored online for more than maybe 48 hours until we have it all into our offline member register. So And I mean, for foreigners who want to support it, you can always donate to the project. Also, please share the link to the homepage wherever you can. If you know any Swedes, tell them about it, and support it in any way that you can. Retweet our tweets. And I mean, you can follow us on Instagram. It's probably a good way, because then you can just look at beautiful pictures, even if you don't understand Swedish.
Yeah, exactly. Pro Swedish. We need that too. By the way, aesthetics, and we need the beauty vision back in, and just a remembrance of all the nice things we have, both in our history and also, of course, in our future. So that's really important.
Another Swede who has been really involved, especially the last month or 2 months, who I think is pretty known to your audience, Henrik, and that's the Golden One, Marcus Collin.
That's right.
He has been helping us a lot, and he was also the moderator at our press conference. That's a guy who knows about aesthetics.
That is correct, exactly. Awesome. Well, this is great. Ingrid, let's have you jump in here towards the end as well and see if there's something that you want to add that we haven't talked about so far.
Well, I think that this could... I mean, if you're not Swedish, don't look at this like a Swedish project. We start this in Sweden, but you know, this is something that I think can and will be done in all of Europe, especially Western Europe, of course, because we share the same problems. We have this mass immigration, the Islamization, and the state not caring about the indigenous people anymore. So let's you know, work with each other. And when we have our house, you are so welcome to visit us. And of course, already now you can reach out to us, email us, or say, I'm very interested. I want to start something like this. Can I know a bit more? And we will try to help you as much as we can, because we think that this is the way forward because Europe is our continent and we are the people of Europe, and we have a right to prosper and stay on this continent.
That's correct. Like every other people do. And you know, it bears repeating. We might get tired of rehashing and rehearing these things over and over. But the fact is, you know, for new people that are tuning in and are curious what this is and all of that stuff, this is nothing different than any other people are doing in their country. In fact, most other countries are actually looking out for their people. So projects like these are not even necessary in those countries. We have an abnormal situation, and Sweden is very far down that road, if you will, of a hostility towards the native population, and therefore projects like these are absolutely necessary, and they could be the start of something really big, and I hope and I think that they are. So good job, guys. Good initiative. I'm really glad to see this. I think it's going to be an amazing project, and I want to see as many people as possible get aboard on this. Daniel, do you have something to add?
Henrik, before we stop today, I just want to thank you for your time and having us on your show, and also for all the support you've already shown us. It means the world for us, actually, because we really, of course, want to have a close cooperation with the Red Eyes and all your listeners. And I mean, this is a real project that unites almost all of the, well, alt-right in Sweden, or we want to call it. I mean, united again, united is strong, separate we are not.
Indeed. Well, thank you guys for coming on. Wonderful. Let's keep the audience updated on what's going on and keep us posted too. Let's talk more about this in the future. Very exciting project. So awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. That's our show. Before we wrap up, just want to let you know that we have much more coming. Members website is practically done. We are just a couple of days out before we're done with the new members website. It's a great site. It's going to be awesome. This is, of course, the creation that we've come up with after the hack, after we had our enemies trying to ruin what we do. They try to ruin this media project. We have been scraping by on our bare knees for a couple of months to be able to continue and have our employees having the project going, because basically our ability to continue financially to support the project have basically been removed. It's only with your donations and also those who have continued their membership in this intermediary time, which have ensured our continued survival. Without that, there would be no more Red Eyes. That's just the reality of it, folks. But we are going to return stronger than ever. We are going to do some massive membership drives here in the coming couple of weeks, and really try to not only gain back those people that jumped ship early in the process because they were afraid that their details would be leaked and doxing and all these lies, which basically never came to fruition. Nothing came of that. So we suspect that they either didn't have any of the details, which they claim that they did, talking about the hackers, or something else is going on. Who knows? But regardless, none of that has come into existence. So those of you guys that did jump ship, come back. Please join us again. We want to have you back. Our new system is much more secure. It's going to be a much better website. And of course, you can join with a email address and a username, which you don't have to. You don't have to have your own personal one if you don't want to. You can give us a false name. You can give us a temporary email or you know a new email that you've set up. So no worries about that. We never ask you for you know your address or any of your personal you know details in that regard. And there's no payment details stored on our members' website as well. So it's just an interface between the payment system, so the gateway, you know, and our members' website. So it's very secure. So guys, we want to have you back, and we want to have all of you out there who are listening to this show and have become fans in the last few months and new listeners to join us as well and support us, because we want to expand. We have a lot of plans and a lot of new exciting projects in the work. We want to get a new studio space. It's getting very cramped, honestly. We want to get to a location where we can bring more of our employees on site as well to continue to step up the production value and the rate, the frequency of our videos and shows and everything like that. So we want to expand, we are growing, and we want to have you guys aboard and support the project. It's a very important and delicate time right now. So come aboard redicemembers.com. If you're already a member and still want to support the project further, you can by donating to us. It's paypal.me/redice. Thank you for all your help. You guys are awesome. We love you all. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back in just a couple of days. Have a great rest of your day or evening, wherever you are, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.